You might want to pick.
Good morning.
Good morning. This is Kathy.
We're having phone issues with the
Polycon.
So we're on the regular phone, so.
Okay. And I'm on my regular phone, so we're good.
Yeah. Hi, Gina.
How you doing?
Good, and you?
Bye.
Are we going to get Chris this morning?
Yeah, he said 9:30 when with that email.
Oh, he's calling in at 9:30.
No, he may be here. Hi, Paula.
Yeah.
Good morning, everyone.
Everyone.
Yeah, we got the commissioners, Kelly and Dinah, so far.
Yeah.
Guess you can call it.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Right, let's call the meeting to order at
9:02.
And I'll make a motion to approve the agenda. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay.
Don't fight over it. Okay, it's been seconded. All in favor say aye. Aye?
Yes.
Aye.
Okay. All right. Let's jump right to Kelly because Chris, I guess, is going to join us physically at 9:30. So I'm going to jump right down to DPW report. So, Kelly, you get the microphone. Go ahead.
Nobody?
No, we don't answer the phone.
All right. We've been jumping around doing a little work. We've been up on Western Bamboo, continuing that project. We did some work on some of the dead-end roads, including Lakeview. We did the entrance to Lakeview, but I want to do the very end of Lakeview. It's going to be more of a project than I want to do right now. We need to extend that road at least another 20 feet, logging purposes. Kathy, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. But we need to get over that hump to get up to where we're safe to back out of there. So your road's not done. We're still going to do up the end at your driveway, but we need to extend that before we lay gravel down. And,
okay. Don't do anything on the driveway, though, okay?
Oh, no.
I'm just kidding.
We'll leave the ruts right there.
The road you can do, okay.
Yeah, this is more for plowing purposes. We got a real nightmare at the end of that road.
And
the guys are out laying soil gravel on West Bergamo right now. We're putting a light coat. What we want to do and what we've been wanting to do for the last 6 years is bring in a mini excavator with a hammer on it. We've got an awful ledge problem on that road that really interferes with the ditch. I'm getting pricing on the rental of the mini excavator from Coleman's. We have at least 5 outcroppings of rock or ledge that interfere with our plowing. They're constant wing bangers that have caused us money problems in the past. So that's my thought. That's going to be a fall thing, though, so I'm just putting it out there that the road's not going to be complete because we want to crack that ledge up first, but we're going to make it nice and pretty and drivable for the tourists. Next week, we're going to do the Upper Lakeview culverts, and we're going to do the Thusis culvert. I checked the drainage yesterday. It was completely dry at Thusis. Even with some rain, I don't think it's going to bother us, so that's my plan for next week. Get those two off our list of things to do.
Just a quick question. So I'm not sure. I think they're all done pouring concrete, right, for the tank?
I don't know.
So you'll be able to manage having big trucks go by while you're putting the Thusis?
Yes.
Okay.
No, we're not going to close the road.
Okay, okay.
We're doing it in pieces.
All right, gotcha.
The grader, on one of the grader ties, we have a gash. We've had it for some time now. It's increasing in size. What's going to happen one day is the tire is going to blow on us. And when a tire blows on a grader, the grader does not move from that location until the tire, you can't move it. So what should have happened when the grader was bought, a spare tire should have been purchased, but it wasn't. So we need to get a tire. It's $1,650. It's just beyond my purchase power, so I'm going to need a PO for that.
Just want to ask Donna, you know how to do a PO for it? Okay.
Sure.
That's how we always did it.
Okay, I just was never shown, so I'll have to be shown, and I can take care of it.
Okay.
It's the kind of thing I'd love to get every mile I can out of the tire, but if that tire blows, then it's going to cost us quite a bit of time and effort, and we may block the road from, you know, until we get the new tire. The tire has to be ordered, so I think it would be a good idea to get this done.
So that being said, what about – let me ask a question. So you're talking about the rubber. You want to replace, not the wheel. Yeah, the whole wheel. So in any event, if we had the tire blow, we'd still have to have a service call made to have the new rubber put on, right?
Yes, and it would have to be audited, so it could take 2-3 days and we'd have a grader in the road.
Okay. So
have to have it towed.
Yep. So you have no problem storing a tire properly? And
well, we're going to get it changed.
Oh, you want to just change it over?
Change it out, because if it, like I said, if it blows, then we're blocking the road. It could be during a snowstorm. Could be.
Yeah. Okay. So my thought was you wanted to always have a spare tire here in the garage all the time, right?
It'd be nice.
Yeah.
It'd be smart. That's what should have been done at purchase time, but it wasn't.
So if we put the new tire on, can the tire with the gash still act as a temporary?
I suppose it could.
All right. I just want to make sure you have a quick backup.
If we
do lose a tire, whether it's a new one or any other one.
The deal is we have to take the tire to a tire shop to have the rubber changed out.
Okay.
Because we're using the existing rim.
Yes. And can these be retreaded?
This one can't because it's sidewall.
Oh, it's sidewall gas? Oh, forget it. Yeah.
There's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
I'm sure they can, but at that point, they'll tie it up a long time unless you get a gash.
Yeah. Okay.
Ideally, would have a spare tire on a rim, just like you do on your vehicle. You get a flat, you change the tire, and you continue going.
Yeah.
Mm. I can't imagine what a rim would cost. It wouldn't be cheap.
Yeah.
Maybe a warrant article for next year.
Maybe it would be.
Yeah.
And the bad part of that is the front tire and the back tire rim. They're two different rims.
Ah. All right. So I'll make a I'll make a motion. Hopefully, it will spur some discussion on what our budget's like. But I'll make a motion that we appropriate up to $1,700 for a new grader tire. Is this one of the rears?
This is the front.
The front. Oh, front tire. Do I have a second to that motion?
I'll second that with Paula. Yeah.
Okay.
Paula?
Okay.
Yeah.
So my discussion would be, and I don't have in front of me the last monthly drawdown on the budget, but we just also had a $1,500 charge for the radiator, somewhere around 15.
Yeah.
Well, the radiator on the international.
No. That we get to the complete bill.
It's $4,000.
$4,000.
It was a lot of brake issues. They had to replace two rims.
Oh.
Yeah. Plus
Yeah.
So Jay, so
our
budget amount was for repairs on equipment and for supplies was $45,840, and as of the end of June, because we haven't done July yet, as of the end of June, we've spent just under $15,000. So we still have $30,000 in the budget line item.
Okay. All right. I feel better.
That's kind of what I thought.
All right. Any other further discussion on the front grader tire, which is different from the rear?
Nope, it's got to get done.
Yeah.
Okay, all in favor of the purchase of up to $1,700 for the new front grader tire, say aye. Aye.
Aye. Yes. Is it priced with labor, Kelly?
Yes, complete.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
Yep.
Good question, Donna.
Sorry.
Okay. I think we heard from Kathy and Paula. Did we talk over you? Did you vote?
No, we heard.
Yes,
they voted.
Oh, they did.
Yeah.
Okay. Good enough. Kelly, next.
All right. I spoke with I found out where we get our signs from, and I remember this now that I found out we get the signs from the corrections facility in Concord. Instead of making license plates, we get signs now. So I have to email him, and he will email us a catalog with pricing and everything they got. They do custom signs. They do anything we want. So I'm hoping the catalog will show signs for the beach area that we were looking for and the speed limit signs. So that should happen within the week. And I have one more thing, but I'm going to let you guys ask your question first, if you have any.
Oh, of you?
Yeah.
I'm just running real quick. The calcium chloride, Rockhouse Mountain.
Yep.
Do we need to invoice them? I believe we would, right?
I believe we would, but I didn't know if we were going to do a second application.
Yeah.
Do it all at once, or what? That's a question for them, how they want to pay it.
Right. I drove up on some of their roads yesterday that you had put the calcium down. Still holding up.
Yeah.
And do you want to reach out to
Russ,
see if they're in the
vicinity
of a second coat?
Yeah, I can do that.
All right.
Yeah.
Ask them how they want to be billed, too.
Okay.
And the one other thing I thought of doing before the 4th of July, and then I know we weren't going to do the speed bumps this year, and I figured we might as well put off the white lines because these big trucks are just going to turn them into black spots anyhow. But the white stop lines?
Yep.
I want to ask Kathy and Paula first. Do we want to go ahead this year and put those down with half the summer remaining?
What condition do you think they're in currently?
Well, they're basically not visible anymore. That was my reasoning, is that a lot of the truck traffic that we've had this year in conjunction with sand on the road has basically sanded them right off. But we could go ahead and put the lines down. They'll probably last through the fall, but of course once the snow flies, it blends right in. But
they get done every year typically.
Yeah, it's about $300 now with that painting company. But I was thinking,
get away with the line item and expectation that we were going to do it now, and I don't have a problem doing it.
Yeah, the DPW can do it.
Give me the go ahead and we'll go do it.
I think if you have time, then I would do it.
Yeah, we can make time. It shouldn't take more than a morning.
Okay, so I'll make a motion to allow Kelly to purchase the white paint for the
spot. I can buy it.
All right, you can.
No motion necessary.
Okay. Very good.
All
right.
Kathy, do you agree? Kathy didn't say.
It's you know, a couple $100 and I'm looking at the budget, and there is a $0 value in there, so I think we were assuming we didn't have to do it this year. But if we can put it under supplies or another line item.
Okay.
It could just be gen maintenance. I mean, it's road work.
Yeah. Okay.
Got it. Okay.
I did want to comment, Kathy. I think you're maybe aware of the work that was done on Lakeview at the entrance there. Came out very nice.
Yeah, it looks awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. You know, that and Swayze, these projects are not just touch-ups. These are significant, long-lasting improvements, and you can see it. A lot of work being put in. I want to just throw a thanks out to the DPW crew for getting this work done. It looks nice, and people are noticing it, so I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. And the last thing, well, two things. Second to last is I'm going to be meeting with Chris today to talk about the finalization of the gravel roads. My thought is that this is not just a grader job. This is basically a road reconstruction job. The roads are very rough. They put some gravel back over the top of it, but the subsurface was disturbed by the digging, so it's not just the grader skin coating gravel. This is going to be a rebuild of roads. Whether we want to, I know we're trying to save money, but if we have the money, I don't know how you want to proceed. It's going to be a much more daunting task than just sending the grader out for an afternoon. I'll talk to Chris today, and I'll explain to him my thoughts. It's going to be, I don't know how Dawson was planning on doing it. He doesn't own a grader, whether he's going to hire a grading company or use a bulldozer. I don't know. I'll find out today. But it's going to be bigger than what I had anticipated because of the, and maybe the road, I can't assume the roads may not be in their finished state yet, but looking at them today, they're pretty rough.
Yeah, I took a look. If you go to the end of Bristenstock, the dead end section, I know what it was like when he unearthed the underlying material down around the pipeline. And so that's now all up to the surface. Now, he did go over, like you said, and put down a layer of DOT gravel. But I'll tell you, he filled in the deep spots. He went and skimmed over the high spots. And right now, if you drive it, it feels good. Nice, fairly smooth. But I'll tell you, in the springtime, you're going to find those soft spots when that road gets muddy. This is the problem. We don't have a consistent, I'll call it 4-inch layer of gravel, consistent down along the roads as they're being put back together. This is more like a shim coat of gravel. And he's filling in the deep spots, but he's skimming over thin on the high spots. And that, in the springtime when we have mud season, is going to rear its ugly head. So the other thing I wanted to talk about, too, while you're here, Kelly, is that Dawson's, I guess, has installed the two culverts that we were proposed to talk about, which are the one at Bristenstock and Salins. That, I forget what the dollar got, that was $11,000-something?
Close, they knocked the price of the culvert came off, so it's right just under 11.
Okay, and then the one at Bristenstock and Aspen. We mentioned to Chris that we would talk about these before signing any change order, but they're already done, and I don't know how they got done, and if we're going to be charged for them or what, because I'll be honest with you, I know that Kelly and his crew could do it a lot cheaper than what was being advertised. So I don't know how to proceed. Did either of you two, Paul and Kelly, excellent. Paul and Kathy, did you see that? That's why
I knew that they got done. I didn't know what the agreement was, or I didn't know that there wasn't an agreement. So we'll have to discuss that with Chris today when he comes on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't. I haven't seen it.
So did they use our culverts, or did they go out and purchase culverts?
They used our culverts.
They did. Okay.
I didn't know. I didn't even know that they took them, and I didn't know the jobs got done until Jay told me.
Kelly had a day off the day that they took the culverts and installed them. I didn't know it was being done either until I drove by and said, "Wow, already got done."
Yeah. I know it was kind of implied that we were going to go with it, but I thought that change orders had to be signed or had to be agreed upon.
Oh yeah,
and these were change orders because they weren't considering them as water projects, part of the water project. So that's when it got complicated, and I backed out.
So we'll talk to Chris about that when he gets in. But I just wanted to have Kelly speak up to that while he's here.
Okay.
And let's see, garage door. Is that all?
Garage doors are—they're coming back actually any minute now. They just had to—they didn't. The remotes didn't come in. Now they have them. They're going to program them and make sure they go up and down and finalize them. Do what they have to do at building two. Okay. It'll be done today.
So the motors are mounted to the ceiling?
Everything's done.
Wow.
Doors are all fixed. They go up and down great. Very, very smooth. Mm-hmm. No, that's done.
Okay. All right. And
if you guys have nothing else, I have one final information. I have been putting off a hand surgery for quite a while now. I got a thumb problem. I never seem to find the right time between winter and summer and projects and plowing. I was told that I need to do this the sooner the better. So I have scheduled surgery in 2 weeks. It's going to be the week of the 10th. So I will be in a sling for 4 weeks. Doesn't mean I can't be here. I can certainly, my guys are going to back me. We're going to still get the work done, but I will be in a sling, in a cast, for at least 4 weeks.
Wow.
I plan this now because I wouldn't be able to plow in a sling. Winter time's more important, so I will be healed up by plowing time. So that was my thought process, to do this as quickly as I can and get it done. We'll still get it. That's why I want to do these culvert projects next week while I still can. After that, it'll be grading and stuff that the other guys can do along with me. You know, I can still manage it. So that's a heads up to you guys. This is something I had to do. I couldn't put it off anymore.
Yeah, I have a question. So
but I will be out for the first week. I'll be out for the week of the 10th.
With the projects that you've already got planned, if you need Tony more than the 3 days...
Absolutely. He can do 4 days a week.
Okay.
And he's willing to do that.
Yep, perfect. All right, great. Anybody have any questions for Kelly?
No. Get that taken care of. Just get that taken care of.
Yeah,
sounds
like
good timing.
Yeah,
all
right.
Thank you.
All right. Just going back to administrative plat / DPW, we have not heard back from Sean's tree service.
No, we have not gotten any correspondence.
Okay.
It went out last Thursday.
Oh, it did last Thursday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
All right. I'm just trying to remember the letters that have been sent out and any responses that may or may not have come in yet, maybe overdue. That was the one I was thinking of. Kathy or Paula, do you remember any letters that we sent out inquiring information that we should?
Nothing that I can think of.
Oh, a gentleman from the ditch cleaning. We didn't hear.
No, Barton.
Barton
Byrne.
The other one I did want to bring up, sorry, I do remember now. 4749 Idlewest Drive. Oh, I think Kelly had surgery again.
We were waiting for a response
from
47 for a driveway permit application.
Yeah.
I spoke with the paving company that was going to do that project. I spoke with him 2 days ago. He's not willing to do the project anymore for them. They want him to do all the permitting and do all the legwork, so he said it's too much. So I don't know what they're going to do.
All right, because I know that they're having a busy summer rental season and they probably wouldn't want the driveway to be done in the middle of a rental, though they could park on that lower circular drive, I call it. But anyhow, so that was one that I remembered. As I drove by, we haven't heard from these folks.
It's up to them.
No, we left it in their court that they had to file a driveway permit.
Yep.
And they had sent the first page of the application. We requested the full application and never heard back.
Yep, okay. All right. But that's not causing our road any problem now, right?
No, fine.
All right, very good. And so you're going to go up on 33 Upper Lakeview. That's your plan for
next week.
Very good.
Get any calls we're going to do.
Enthusiasts. Okay.
I still have not heard back from EDS on Bergdorf.
Okay. Yeah, here's what I'm trying to remember is all the inquiries that we sent out, and what the status of those are. Okay.
Okay.
So, Paul or Kathy? Do you have anything else for Kelly while he's still here before he goes up and steals my jelly donut?
Nope, I think we're good.
Nope, nothing for me. Thank you.
You okay. Want me to wait for Chris?
He said he'd be here at 9:30.
Okay. Yeah, because I want to discuss those two culverts.
I'd like to have a little bit of talk with you guys with him.
Yeah.
Who entered the meeting with the last four digits of 1238, please?
Hey, it's Andre.
Oh?
Andrew.
Oh, Andrew.
Oh, Andrew.
Oh, ah, yes.
Hi, Andrew. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Andrew, we had a little bit of a change up in the agenda this morning. The water project engineer, Chris Albert, we thought he'd be here at 9 a.m., but he's coming actually in just the next few minutes. He shouldn't have much because he wants to get back up on site and hand out donuts and cold drinks. So we just got a couple of things we want to discuss with him. So if you could kindly hang on. That's fine.
Yeah, no problem.
Or actually, while we're waiting for him, do you want to tackle this one now?
Uh-huh.
All right, so I'm going to jump right to administrative report under Donna's section. And I want to give Andrew the microphone and talk about the phone system. And Andrew, I'll go ahead and let you discuss what you know about it. I know Donna has had some issues. We've been running out of minutes. Which causes her the inability to be able to call back residents and such. So go ahead, Andrew.
Okay, so when we swapped over to the phone system, I did an analysis to see how many minutes, well, it was a cost analysis to see how many minutes we used each month. And really, we were using, depending on the time of year, between 500 and 600 minutes. And so when I did the cost analysis and found alternate options to obviously find ways to save money, CallCentric was the best option. And I also had prior experience with it, so that also played into it a bit. What we do is on a monthly basis, a charge of $30 is made to the VDOE credit card, and that's automated. It's one charge a month, and that gets added to a CallCentric account balance. What then also happens is the monthly charge for services then gets deducted from that $30, which I think at this moment in time is like $25. So for argument's sake, let's say it's $25. That leaves $5 extra balance. The monthly services includes 1,000 outbound minutes, okay? If you reach the 1,000 outbound minutes, we're then billed per minute, and this doesn't include toll-free numbers, so if you call a toll-free number, it's free. We're then billed at just over 1 cent a minute for outbound calls over the 1,000 minutes, okay? And so that... the credit that is used to support that 1 second, that 1 cent per minute, is taken from the remaining $30 balance. Okay, so if we're paying $25 a month for service, then that $5 is then used towards the remaining minutes. And then again, along comes the first of the month, another $30 is added, et cetera, et cetera. So normally, we have no issue because we use around 600, 700 minutes a month. If we go over the 1,000 minutes, you know, a few extra dollars, one or two extra dollars is fine. It uses the account balance. The challenge that we've been running into since kind of March, April timeframe is that we're using more than the 1,000 minutes. And this is obviously due to things like right now dialing into commissioners' calls, which go on for several hours. Obviously, the far more people calling in or Donna having to call out people rather than coming by the office, et cetera, et cetera. The long and short of it is that we're using more minutes than we anticipated. So what happens is when there's no more balance available, Donna's not able to make outbound calls. You know, it's like having a prepaid cell phone, right? AT&T is going to not allow you to make calls if you don't have any money in your prepaid account. The normal way that to resolve this is you allow a subsequent charge, right? So when the balance gets below $5, it'll do an automatic top-up. When I set the phone system up. I, for financial reasons and, you know, security reasons, I set it up so that it only allows one $30 charge per month. Now, to solve this problem, we can either increase it so that we just charge $35 a month and there'll be enough to get us through the end of the month, or we can change it so it allows a subsequent charge to the account, so it would allow two charges a month. Okay? So so there are easy solutions to this. It's obviously just understanding why it's happening in the first place helps us decide, you know, what to do. Now, the other month when it happened, one of the things, when I added up the minute, the biggest thing that's putting it over is dialing into this conference bridge number for, you know, multiple hours a week. So the easiest way, well, from my perspective, the easiest way, right, is if there's a toll-free number for this conference service, then if you're calling from the office, you use the toll-free number. And then that gets rid of this problem, because the dialing into the these calls is what's driving up a large amount of outbound minutes.
Okay.
Andrew, would you know of any toll-free conference calling numbers? I just basically Googled. I had no knowledge, you know, of the, you know, conference calling places.
Yeah, no, no, that's perfectly fair. One thing you might want to consider, and again, I can help you look into this, you guys pay monthly or annually for Office 365.
Yeah.
Office 365 comes with Skype for Business, which is now called Microsoft Teams.
Yeah.
And that has a conferencing service as part of it that you don't pay anything extra for.
Right.
Okay, and so you can... the same thing we have here, right? And that has a toll-free number as well as a toll number, and not that it really affects us, but it has numbers all around the world as well, right? So you could consider moving to use Microsoft Teams instead. It would have added benefits on the above the free conferencing service you're using right now, in that if you ever needed to give presentations, people would actually be able to connect via computer to be able to view the presentations. So it would give you more than what you've got right now, and it wouldn't cost you anything above what you're already paying. So that's one thing to consider.
Okay.
And yep. Andrew, can those calls be recorded? I think they can, right?
Yep. They can also be recorded, yep.
Okay.
So I just want to, Andrew, thank you very much for the insight into what we currently have. And I want to expand it a little bit, because we also have had, over the past few months, several concerns and or complaints about not having an answering service any longer. And I want to just add that to the mix here. Not that we're going to solve this today, but I do have a proposal I want to make, which will definitely include Andrew. We've had complaints that people are timid about calling 911 when there's water outages or when there's a icy road condition or a tree across the road. 911 basically is just what most people think is an emergency number, and they just want to point something out. There is a possibility, like you said, using 365 of getting an answering service or an answering forwarding system, and maybe coming off of the sheriff's list for 911 or emergency calls within the village district. So that's another issue that is not really part of running out of minutes here, but I wanted to bring up as well. Also,
just on that, Jay, quickly. So I share that concern, and when we got rid of it originally, I did share the concern at that time. We were paying an exorbitant amount of money for the old answering service. And at that time, I looked into some other options, and there were and still are considerably cheaper alternatives to what we were. I mean, I can't remember how much we were paying, but when I found out, it's a crazy amount. So there are a lot cheaper and just as good alternatives out there for the answering service.
So, yes. Jay?
Kathy?
Jay? Two things. To back up on the existing phone system, what might be contributing to the excess minutes is that
Donna and I found out that when we hang up from our conference call, it kept recording for a total of 6 hours. So we were having difficulties attaching the audio files because they were so large when we couldn't figure out why. And then we realized that they were continuing for a total of 6 hours. So I don't know if we ever – is that still happening, Donna? You know?
It showed that it only happened that twice, Kathy. And
okay.
That could have been because I was using the laptop. Maybe I didn't log out.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay, but the last couple of weeks it has not happened?
No.
Okay. So that could have contributed to some of the, you know, excess minutes. And
yeah, but that just happened this week.
Yeah.
Oh, it did. Okay.
Yeah.
Did that one contribute? Because there's an idle timeout on the service. If you have a call that's going that is idle, it will actually disconnect that call after a certain number of minutes.
Yeah.
Well, it was idle. We adjourned the meeting after, you know, 3 hours, and then there was 3 hours of just nothing. So, you know,
well,
I'm not sure how that happened.
No, Andrew's saying that the phone system, actually, if it's idle,
it'll shut off.
Oh, okay.
Right, Andrew?
Exactly.
This is the audio recording from the conference service, right?
Okay, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so it was on the conference call audio, but not necessarily adding to our minutes on CallCentric.
Exactly, because they're two separate things. And if you left the phone connected but it was idle and there was no sound, it will actually terminate the call after a certain number of minutes.
Okay.
That's good to know.
So
my second comment was, so towns like Eaton and Freedom and Madison, I mean, what happens when people call the town hall office after hours?
You get a recording.
Yep.
And if it's a DPW issue, you would call the sheriff's department. They will contact their DPW to remove a tree from the road or what have you.
Okay. So we're not unusual in that process.
Right.
Are relying
on
the
place.
Yeah, we're unusual here.
But I don't want to try to solve the issue here today, but I have a proposal because obviously the answering service is one issue which has caused some concern, and then of course running out of minutes and maybe using a cheaper alternative, which is 365. And things like that. So what I'm going to propose is that we form a group, and I reached out to Ron Sandstrom this morning. Ron actually runs a small business that does IT support. We're a little too small for him, but he would certainly lend his expertise in developing a solution. I definitely want to have Andrew needs to be on this committee, and then we could just really, it would really take no more than 45 minutes to hash out what it is that would be usable and reliable here in the district. And so that's all I'm going to do is make that proposal that myself and any of the other two commissioners with Andrew and the help of Ron get together to hash out a solution. And also, Andrew, keep this in mind, too. You know very well that the equipment in this office is very old. And we're going to probably be looking at maybe possibly a warrant article for next year, or maybe it's cheap enough to just do it now under the budget to start phasing out some of the old PCs that we have here, as well as our copy fax machine. We don't want to get stuck with one of these things breaking and then waiting 2 weeks for a delivery of a new device. So
well, I agree with that. Rhonda and Andrea, both said you really should do something with this computer. It is, you know, in need of updating, for sure.
That's why I'm bringing it up now. Maybe a good time. So Andrew, would you be available at all to have a 45-minute sit-down with the commissioners and Ron Sampson to sort of have something out, a little plan?
Yeah, I'd be happy to be involved.
Okay. Jay, can I ask a couple questions, please? It's Paula.
Sure.
I just have a question for Andrew about all of his stuff he mentioned. Andrew, when the $5 is not used up, does it roll over, or do we lose that every month?
No, it rolls over. It rolls over, so it's just an account balance. And so technically speaking, right, when the balance drops below $5, it tops mm-hmm. up $30. So what was supposed to happen was once a month, it would do the charge for $25. It would drop below the balance, and it would top up with $30. And if you're not doing any overages, then once a year, we wouldn't get a charge for $30. So, yes, you don't lose the money. The money's always ours. It just sits in that balance in the account. And it's like a prepaid phone service, right?
EasyPass works that way. So if you did, like, $40 a month, it's not like you're losing the money. At least you're ensuring that it can top off. So
and obviously the idea would be that hopefully we don't run out. Yeah. So it's a mixture of both. It's a mixture of both. I think that we should consider increasing the top up amount to say $40. I don't want to increase the maximum number of charges a month because that opens up to potential fraud. I think we should still only allow a maximum of one credit card charge a month, but increase it to 40, and then also try to reduce the number of minutes we're using for outbound calls by not by calling less, but by using toll-free numbers if possible.
Okay. And then my other question is, this committee you want to form, Jay, is are you talking about to figure out a solution to the messaging system, or what do you want to figure out?
Yeah, so as Andrew had mentioned in the beginning of his discussion, we may be able to use Microsoft Teams part of the phone with PBX, maybe a 3CX, put this all together, as well as Kathy had mentioned, updating the equipment, whether it be by this year, within this year's budget, or if we have to put a warrant article forward for next year.
Okay.
Basically, it's basically an IT solution to bring us into the 21st century.
Okay. I'm fine with that. I thought it was to find an answering system. I mean, the one thing I would also just say is when you say a lot of people are concerned about the answering system, I don't know what that means.
I've had a lot of calls.
I don't hear that on the call report. Are you logging those? Because if people are they just saying I don't want to call 911? Like, if we're doing the same thing every other town is, and we're smaller, and we just have more difficult. I don't believe that we just have more difficult people. I don't buy that. People, I mean, if we make it clear, call the sheriff. Don't call 911. Give them the phone number to call. I don't know what it is, but like, I don't want to react because. And now spend money on an answering service because people are uncomfortable doing something that is perfectly acceptable and they've been told to do.
Okay.
So I feel pretty strongly about that. So if that's why I thought you were forming a committee to find a new answering service. And
Paula,
right?
Like Monday morning calls, you know, it was only a tree, but I didn't want to call the police. This past weekend with the water outage, Bill Moser, you know, didn't know he had like four calls into the office and emails, to, you know, what's going on, how come it's not being addressed and everything. But I don't believe he ever called the sheriff's department.
Yeah. So,
okay. Then maybe what we need to do is we need to be better at making sure people understand it's okay to call the sheriff's department. So maybe we need to make sure it's on the outbound message. Maybe on any when you send an email and you don't get a response, people should get an auto response that says, if this is why you're emailing us, call the sheriff. Like, we have to do a better job at communicating then. If people don't know, because if they don't know, we just need to make sure they know. That's all.
Yeah. The other thing, Paula, is that the water operator has expressed to me that he's very much in disagreement with having lost the answering service because the communication, so obviously, if there's a water outage, that will be called in during off hours to the answering service. The answering service then calls Ian and notifies him of the outage,
right,
as does the sheriff's department. But then
right,
Ian can call the answering service back and say, okay, if you get any more calls, tell them the water will be back on within 2 hours. Unfortunately, the sheriff's department will not relay that message. They just take the call. So Ian is not very happy, and actually he told me this weekend he was passing out his own business cards to residents up on Jungfrau and Aspen, asking them to call him directly. So that bypasses the office, and so we have no idea that we've even had a water outage. He is trying to make it very convenient for people, but obviously going the sheriff's route may not be the best solution. The other thing would be Kelly right here in the room gets calls from the sheriff's department as well about road conditions.
I do.
Yeah.
The answering service certainly has problems, but there was a trail when there was a call made. There'd be a notification to the commission that there was a call made. So if the commission knew that there was a problem that was addressed, or whether it was addressed, or how it was addressed, who addressed it, you know, there was a paper trail to problems. If the same person called in multiple times, you had that person's number to try to understand why they keep calling. And that's what we had the problem with. We had the same few people would call all the time. Maybe they're not calling the sheriff's department because, as I feel, 911 is if you're dying, you're going to call 911. I wouldn't call 911 myself if I saw a tree limb. I don't know. It changed a lot of things and a lot of, and people in here, and I say people in here, it's more like an association than it is a town. They do expect a little better service. I try to give them better service. I know Ian does too. Madison doesn't have a water department. They don't have to deal with water calls. I don't think Wakefield does, or I know Albany does, and other towns don't have that. So that's the bit. I don't care if I get called. Believe it, but as far as the water is concerned, I can see it.
But as Andrew had brought up, we're going to try to find either a cost-free answering system or one that is far more efficient than the one we were paying for previously.
Well, if you're going to, I think if you're forming a committee, that's great. I would have to put one commissioner on it, and then you don't have to have official meetings. If you're interested in doing it, Jay, why don't you just do it if Kathy's okay with that?
Yeah, I wanted to make sure that all three commissioners are invited, but we would have to post we only plan on having one meeting. But if the other two commissioners want to join, please let me know, and then we'll post it. Otherwise, we'll just go ahead and find the best time. Okay?
No, I think the Paula's point, Jay, to come up with some alternatives, to come up with, here's several things that we could pursue, and then have a commissioner's meeting, maybe some first thing some morning, and that's all we're going to discuss is just that topic.
Yep. No, and it'll be printed and sent to you both prior to that meeting. Absolutely. Okay?
Great. Thank you. Good idea.
Great. Thank you. All right, we have the Donut Man here in the office.
Always
Chris Albert.
With donuts.
Huh?
You're always walking with donuts.
You pay Kelly through food.
Good morning, everyone. Again, Chris Albert from Jones and Beach Engineers. The crane is up at the Rhinex tank site. They've got two or three walls up. I think he anticipates being here at about 2:00. I did eat plenty of coffee and donuts, and there's some cold water up there. If anyone wants to come up and view, there's plenty of space. It's a little dusty, so be aware of that. Just as updates, I did email you guys this morning, DN Tanks. I don't know where it's stuck somewhere in my paperwork, but for their work completed, to get them up to today of actually erecting the two tanks. Or the walls and the domes and all that. I think I need to, probably in the next couple of weeks, I'll check with DES when they're actually getting disbursements going again, and we'll get together one big disbursement probably in the beginning of August to count DN tanks, the office excavation, and all the miscellaneous engineering bills, and we'll get that over. One thing I have to send Rick Skorenka, they'll need all our contracts, which is just in that on file. I need the contract and then the bill follows the contract.
Okay.
Just in their file. Things are moving along. I guess, again, Jake apologized. The guys were supposed to have installed the Aspen culvert because it was so plugged. They went and did the Salins one, too. So, unfortunately, we never approved that change order, but they did the work. He's actually knows the man hours into it now, so he's going to try to, and he apologizes, he's going to try to cut that down now that he actually knows it. Again, he apologized. He's like, Chris, they did the wrong one. He said they had to do the after one because with that rain, it was so hot.
Yeah.
It was going over the road, so they were going to do that one, which was, and they got your 40 feet of pipe.
Right.
But they did the other one. I'm like, I guess they had a hard time following directions. So some people do in life. Again, I apologize for that. And then I don't know, if you're still around.
I am. I want to
catch Jake, and we can try to look at the gravel aspect and what we need to do for that.
I did, just in front of the commissioners, just so they know what we're going to talk about, I want to hit it on it a little bit with the road and the grading. My original plan was to just grade the road. I guess I got to talk to Jake and see what the finished road's going to look like, because what I'm seeing now is pretty tore up. It won't be a matter of just skimming and grading. This is going to be a pretty much rebuilt surface.
The gravel road.
Yeah. I mean, the digging, he put some light three-quarter over it, but that's kind of mixed in with the inch and a half, and kind of once we start tearing into the shape of our roads, I guess what I'm looking at is a lot of gravel.
Yep. That's how we can go over.
Yeah. And the ditches, as far as what he's planned, how much he's doing and what we're responsible for, I was looking at a day, but what I'm seeing now is much more than a day for us. But it's more than just a grader operator. We're going
to need something to work with.
Yeah, right.
Yep, and so, again, we're going to try to meet the three of us and
okay. And
come to an understanding that benefits, fulfills Jake's responsibilities and gets Kelly and the district, a better product if we can do that extreme. Again, typically, utility work, the state, pays that trench. And, they're not in the road. The DES, environmental service people, aren't in the road building aspect of people.
Yeah.
So I know, like, in North Country Village, they've got 400 feet of entranceway that the district, the co-op has to actually pay overlay out of their own pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And then, the rest of the trench stuff, the state would pay. Again, it's kind of maybe something to bring up more with the state as they look at, projects and overlays. But, Tom Wallace, he's like, we're not in the road construction here. But that's their theory.
But that's their water part of it.
Right.
The initial project should have included road. And then the water should have been, this part was water, but we also had to rebuild roads, too.
Right.
I mean, the original plan should have included road.
Right.
I think we all agree that now, that it wasn't.
Yeah, I don't ever recall a water line plate replacement or new water line that didn't address the road because it's,
I know it can't come from the DES part of it, but it should have come from the Warren.
It should have been, part
of the Warren. We've got the Bryant paving.
Yeah.
So you got time.
I don't know what we're going to do. We should talk about that, too, if we're going to go with the paving or not go with the paving for the overlay.
$37,000.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good price. It's comparable to what towns and cities are paying in the state right now.
Yeah.
Jake would still be responsible for the trench patch.
Yeah.
And then they would come through and then shim and then overlay.
Okay.
What was the width on that? 18?
I think it was 18.
Yeah.
18. It varies, but they took it into consideration, the intersection's bigger.
Yeah, because your radius is.
Yeah.
Are you going to have to put in shoulder material once?
We will after.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll do an initial ditch and clean.
Yeah.
Just before we. Because you really don't want to go back and put the shoulder in until much later.
Correct. So we need to answer the folks at Bryant to get on the schedule.
It is August.
Right.
So if they're 8 weeks out, middle of September, end of September type of thing.
All right. So, and do we have that figure in front of us, that 36 Bryant quote?
I don't know if it's still part of it.
Here we go. All
All right, so we're talking about the paving of Briston Stock and Aspen with the proposal from Bryant Paving. Yeah, there it is, Bryant Paving, for $37,240. So, Ms. Kelly, I have a quick question. I was thinking about this last night. It woke me up with a nightmare. On Aspen, just down the hill from the Briston Stock Aspen intersection, there was that lot where all those trees were just recently cleared.
I got no driveway application. I got no nothing.
Yeah.
I don't know what the new one.
So
just cutting trees for firewood, all I know.
Yeah. So I'm just concerned if we go and pave it, and then he puts in an application to cut the road up to get a water line connection done. But the date for that happening this year is August 1st. So if he doesn't get something in, like
what's the number?
Street number? I don't know. I'll try to find that out for you. I have to look at some maps.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at
We had that one, Kathy, that called in. If I knew.
They'd be up around number.
I think he was on Little Shore. Yeah, the one we've looked at was on Little Shore, I believe.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, this is be around 45, 40, 50 Aspen.
Okay. No, I didn't have anything on Aspen. Okay.
All right. We just might want to try and contact that person if there's any way of doing so, just to see if he's going to be doing anything, that he better do it sooner than later. All right. So we have for discussion the Bryant Paving quote, $37,240 for that shim and one-inch overlay, 392 tons. I'll make a motion that we go ahead and give Bryant the nod, the go-ahead.
Yeah, I think the key is to get them in the queue.
Yeah.
So that way they can slate that for, like I said, end of March.
Yeah, the money would be coming from the contingency of this project.
Well, actually, if you look at it, it's still part of the contract amount. We haven't dipped. If you look at that, my last map, it left like $600.
You have it
right there. You have it in your... Yeah, in that last spreadsheet. It actually, with Dawson's change order went to the folder and that work, it actually left $600 out of the bond and the grant, and we haven't even touched the $85,000.
Oh, okay.
As of this date.
Yeah. All right. Any discussion, Kathy or Paula?
Now, Chris, did you say that it would not be part of a reimbursable request?
I'm going to try. I'm going to run it by Rick and see if we can get it in there.
Okay.
I think, though, when you look at the $295 grant and you look at the overall numbers, we're going to be kind of over that anyway. But, yeah.
Okay.
But I'll reach out to Rick. I think he's on vacation this week or last week.
Yeah. Okay. But the to get the full $295, I thought that the math worked out that we had to spend the $1.249. So that's everything. We had to spend the bond money, the grant money, and the capital reserve money to get the full $295.
No, but I think our engineering numbers had grown, you know, as far as the archaeological and some of those other numbers weren't in the original scope. So,
right.
But I'll like barter and steal as much as I can for it.
Okay. But the money's got to come from somewhere. So, okay.
Molly, do you have anything?
No questions.
Okay. We're ready to vote on Bryant Paving putting down the shim and one-inch overlay for $37,240 on Briston Stock and Aspen, the steep section. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Yes.
Okay.
So who seconded it?
I think that was Kathy. I heard. Well,
sure.
Yeah. I heard it say aye second.
Okay. As long as there's no concern about it, you know, going outside the scope of the project, that's all. So as long as we're comfortable with that being part of the Reinhardt Tank project.
It's part of, yeah, it's where pipe was put underneath.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I just want to dial back real quick on those two culverts.
Yep.
So
we got an original quote from Dawson on installing those two, but that was, he was purchasing the materials and such. So is he going to come back to us with new numbers?
Yeah, now we actually have the main hours that actually put in. He's going to try, and he apologized, he's going to try to shave it down.
Okay.
And he did get the 40 feet of pipe from you guys.
Okay, perfect. All right, Kelly, you okay with that?
Well, I'm going to look at it because I want to show you.
Yeah, because I thought you were going to use the header for the 24-inch that we purchased.
Yeah, but
it probably
wouldn't have made a difference because I didn't buy a header.
Right.
I built the header, so it's not. Well, it wasn't an added cost. It wouldn't, we're not saving anything.
Okay.
Having used it.
Yeah.
It probably would have cost some. Well, taken a more time to set a header wall and put a pipe than it did build a rock.
Okay. All right. Gotcha. Chris, anything else?
Yeah, the only thing is we got kind of mixed up between Ian, Jake, and myself as far as the tie-in at Ryanite to bring in the 6-inch into the building.
Yep.
There was a lot of finger-pointing on whose job it was to call Donna. So I think we're looking at possibly next Thursday.
Okay.
For the Ryanite. And the problem, I've got to go over with Ian on what are we actually shutting down. So we're going to end up shutting down the Young Fry pump station.
Okay.
So what it's going to do, and it's for about 2 hours while they have to tie in with a double gate valve scenario. But I believe what that's going to do, though, it's going to change the pressure for the whole area except for when you get over to the western side of the other booster pump stations that go up the hill.
Right.
But I think we could still keep the booster pump station in the old building running that goes down Ryanite that way. So those guys would be all right. So I've got to sit with Ian and really figure out, frame them. Like, hey, who are we actually affecting? And again, it's going to be that, big.
Well, the booster pump station in the existing building, the old building.
On top of the hill.
Yeah.
So
effect,
it does.
Only, well,
I'm all right. Went home, right?
Yeah, number 5.
Right.
Ryanite.
Okay.
That I know of.
Right.
But
there's another line that goes down there. I mean, that's the problem with half the drawings. They have, there's a 2-inch and a 4-inch.
Yeah.
So again, it's something that I've got to really iron out with him. But tentatively, I think we'd want at least a 48-hour notice.
I think it's required 48 hours for any water roll set up.
They do shoot for Thursday. We'll make sure we get the actual verbiage and units clarified by Monday, Tuesday. So you have that.
Yeah. So
it's conceivably, it's only a 2-hour thing.
Yeah.
But we always,
Okay. So
end of day.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, we say end of day, but I mean all things considering it, it goes that it should only be about 2 hours. But anyway.
So Kathy, email blast.
Yeah.
Are you going to be around next week to be able to do that, or is Donna going to do that?
Yes and no. Yes. I will be on vacation. I'm leaving on the 4th, but I can still do it. I mean, I think I have good internet. I don't know about phone call in, how that's going to work, but the internet up there is okay. So I will be able to get that out.
All right.
We'll know Monday, so we could do that Monday.
We can do it Monday.
Want Monday.
Okay.
We can set it up to go out on.
Kathy, I missed.
Yeah, we can set it up to go out. We can actually send it out Monday if we know the timing of it, or we can.
I'd rather sooner than later, just because of last week's debacle.
Well, that was unplanned. That was inadvertent. So there was no way to let people know ahead of time that there was going to be an accident. So okay, so if we know by Monday, Chris, what the timing is going to be on this, we can send it out on Monday.
Okay. All right. Great. Thanks, Kathy.
I work with Ian and Jake.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess the other thing was I got a call from Kirsten, Jake's girlfriend, about the retainage. I think Kathy had talked to her.
Yeah. Well, two things on that, Chris. I read through the couple of pages that in the contract regarding retainage. And the way I'm reading it is that on the first 50% of the contract, we're taking 10% of the retainage for retainage, correct?
Yeah, up to when you reach, you take 10% of the contract amount till you reach 50% of the contract amount, and then
correct.
After that, you take out anything. So when you reach substantial completion, you're at 5%.
Right.
Yes. So that was we misunderstood
then,
that. It sounded like the previous conversation sounded like we were taking 10% on the first half of the money, then we were taking either 2 or 5% on the subsequent money, and that's not what it says. So I reread that, and so we take 10% of the first half, then that's it. We don't take any more retainage. When the job is substantially complete, we reduce the overall retainage to 2%. So we refund 3% of that balance in the retainage account to the contractor. Okay, got it.
Correct.
Okay, so that's fine. Okay. And then and there was just on that one form that we got for the Dawson one, it showed the $25,500.
Yeah,
so I think
she
the difference.
That's why I sent that email.
Yep. Okay, so I think the difference is that it's just that catch up to the next 80,000 of that bill, which is gets us to the first half, and so I think we're okay. I redid it this morning, and we're like $900 different. So, but I think that's just that'll work itself out.
Yeah, I think it was like $8,000 retained on this invoice with the 10% you did at the other one, got you to that point.
Right, because there was 80,000. Yep, there was 80,000 left to get us to half. Yep, that's exactly what I had. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So we can redo those two checks.
Okay.
Because we misinterpreted that. So we're only taking 5%. We're taking 10% of the first half, and that's it. We're not taking a lower percentage on the subsequent money.
No.
Okay. So what we had was 10% at 50% of the job, and then 5% after.
No. Yeah.
But that's incorrect. We just take the 10%.
Incorrect.
Correct. We only take 10% of the first half, and that's it.
Okay.
We don't take any.
You're kind of funding the retainage, I guess, is the way the
government. Yep. All up front. Yep.
All right. Good.
So we'll.
And then if you notice on those, he created a separate item for pipe testing. What we also do is we actually, if there's any pipe testing, which there is on this job, we hold it just like a weird A. If you look at one thing, there's like if you have the pipe, the 4,500 feet of pipe.
Yeah,
and
4-inch pipe testing.
And then there's pipe testing. So they haven't done any of that. So what he's done, he's actually gone by the contract spec, is we hold 10% on the pipe line item until it's pressure tested and coordinated.
Okay.
So we're actually taking another 10% above that. And again, this is all standard state DES specifications that have been out for 20, 30 years now. So it's. I try not to deviate too much from what's been out there from a legal standpoint.
So say that again, Chris. Is that something that we need to be aware of? Or?
No. It's when he does his actual pipe testing, then he'll actually submit to that 9A, whatever that item was,
3-1.
Okay.
3-1A. Yeah, if you look at it, I'm sorry.
So on A 3.1, 4-inch testing.
So it's nice. He's already taken that out, so it saves me doing the math twice, which is nice.
Okay.
Perfect.
What else you got?
That's it. I guess, I'm still, looking for maybe September to do a ribbon cutting ceremony at the site when it's all dressed and done. I haven't got any warmth. Fuzzy feelings back from Aaron Holmes and Rick Skorek and those guys. What I envision trying to do is get, the commissioners, maybe anyone from the town of Madison, officials there, maybe the Carroll County commissioners, and then I was going to talk to the governor's office and get either the governor or a representative to the governor, and then Senator Chuck Morse, who supplied the $295,000 grant. Again, it's election year, so we'll see. I mean, but to me, I think it's a great thing where the money is getting spread around the state.
Yeah.
And I think, you guys, it's not all going to Nashville and Manchester and the big cities. $30 million got spent for the Southern Tier project to bring water from Manchester to Plastow to help that whole corridor. And, you look at the map, we're actually on the state map now as a contributing project. So we'll see. I'm trying to reach out, and again, if that's something that that you, you know, the board feels you want to do, I'll keep going with it. If you tell me to go, yeah, who cares? And, you know, again, I work for you, but, you know, I'm also,
well,
you know, I like the politics of what people do. And
it's one important question, will there be donuts?
Yeah,
all right. Paul and Kathy, I have a question for you. I have no objection to doing a ribbon cutting ceremony, even if we have to invite the prisoners from Carroll County Jail to come. But do you guys have any objections?
No, no, I think it's a great idea.
No, I think it's a good idea.
All right. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'll keep running with it, you know, on your behalf, and, you know, because again, I think it's, you guys did a great job with the bond, and we used that to leverage the groundwater trust, and, you know, it really shows how, you know, out-of-pocket money and grant money and loan money can all work together to get a project complete.
Yep. All right.
You know, you're mm-hmm. you're really the token child of how the state wants us to work.
Yes.
Oh, sorry, that's wonderful.
Up at Seco Pines, too. Yep. All right. Any other questions for Chris?
Nothing. Nope. So how are they going to be?
No, thank you.
So Chris, will they still be putting the sections up? You know, at noontime, 1 o'clock today.
Yeah. He figured it's going to go on to probably 2.
Okay. Because I definitely would like to get up there and at least take some pictures.
When I left, they had 2 panels up, and then they've got 10 wall panels and 6 roof panels. So. And it's, you know, it's meticulous. They have to shore each one in.
Okay. Just one quick question. So once the panels and roof are all put together, when does the wire bond happen?
Excuse me. They have to seal the gap. They leave it about a foot apart.
Yeah.
And they put a special backer eye in there, sealants, and then they got to do all that. There's an upper concrete bond beam that gets done. Then there's the wire wounding.
Okay.
And then after that, there's a shotcrete, which is just a shotcrete concrete thing. And then painted, and, you know, we're done.
All right, cool.
And we will be able to fill it with no backfill. So we'll be able to check the leaks after the other leaks. But, you know, we'll be able to look at it.
Perfect.
Maybe bring that to you guys.
Yep. Okay. All right, super. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, I'll be up there for a little while. I'm not going
to. All right. I'll head up after the meeting.
Yeah. Stop up.
All right. Get your time.
Okay. I'll be up there.
Hopefully we'll be done before it shows up.
Okay. That's right. All right. Yep. Thank you.
All right. Great. Thank you, Chris.
Have a good day, guys.
Thank you.
All right. So why don't we just jump right into the rest of the admin report. So, Donna, you have anything new this week?
I don't have anything new, just the water outages from the weekend. The phone system that was addressed, and I just need to know what to do with these, like this water bottle things. I don't know if that's for the copper lead testing.
Yep.
I don't know how it was done, and... I know it's not due immediately, but it's hanging over the head. I want it done properly. And I did spend an awful lot of time on 91As, and I thank Paula for helping me definitely yesterday. But that's about... Well, you know, I'm just trying to keep above water with everything coming into the office, especially those 91As.
Yeah, so I have a question on one of the 91A requests for photographs of the Little Loop project at either the properties 4, 6, I believe it's 5. Anyway, any properties in and around the Little Loop project. So I took pictures on my own. I never did share some of those with the office. I did just send in a couple from my phone that I have the pictures on. I'm not sure if Kathy or Paul were able to open them. But
I did see them, Jay. I saw them.
Okay. So do I have to send basically every picture I ever took? Because I don't even know when I took them. And I have an old phone. I had an old phone, which is I have no longer because I had to get the new one. But I had pictures on that, and I don't know where that is. But I guess I'll send what I know I've got.
No, I don't think you're required. It's until you send it, it's not a public document. So if it's a personal photo, I don't think there's any requirement on you to then send those to the office.
Okay. I just want to be able to, I mean, I know he's looking for photos, so I'll give him, even if it's a personal photo, I'll give him what I got.
And another thing on the 91A request, I believe that if somebody asks the office to say, I want copies of all the minutes that refer to, say, the loons or the dam or the beaches, if all the minutes are on the website, I don't believe it's incumbent upon the office to go through all the minutes to find ones that have discussion on a certain topic.
Right.
Okay, so if somebody
I agree, Kathy. I agree. People can search that. I mean, I'm going to say this publicly. Using the search function, if they use the search function on the website and they put in loons, any document on the website that mentions loons will come up. And therefore, they can then scroll through the results, and they'll have all the minutes there that talk about the loons. They may have other documents as well, but that's what the search function is for. So I agree with you completely.
Okay. I was hoping you weren't sitting down going through every weekly meeting, looking for those two words. And if the minutes are on the website, we don't have to do that. They're already there for the public to search and to gather all that information on their own. Okay.
There are a lot of minutes, though, that are not on the website yet. And I know that Donna's working on those. So
I saw the three that came in.
I
saw the three that came in this morning, and even though I didn't read them yet, we can still post them as drafts, even though we haven't read and approved them yet. So at least they'll be there.
Okay. I did go through three last night. Now, the other thing that I'm just questioning, I have a request for all pictures, videos, and this goes back from January 1st of 2015 to present. 2015 to present. The only pictures and videos would be through the town of Madison, the camera guy. I don't know of any or where to even start to look for that stuff.
You mean for the videos or?
Yeah, I mean that's.
Or is it videos of just the project? Is it just videos of the water on Little Loop? Is that what they're looking for?
Yeah.
Well, for meeting videos, yes, they'd have to go to Madison TV and make that 91A request. So I don't think the videos posted currently go back that far, but. They would have to go to the town of Madison to look for any meeting videos. So that's where they should be directed for that. In terms of videos or photos that maybe somebody sent in through email, there might be stuff like an email archive. We would have to search the office email archive, which I think we can do with the search function.
Okay.
So I can help you do that.
Yeah, and Mark sends in a lot of pictures and videos, so there may be something in some of those correspondence.
Yeah, I can come in and help you do that, Donna. Just to make sure we just have to do our best to try and find as much as we can.
Yeah, I mean,
if they're looking for any meeting videos, that's Madison TV.
Okay.
Yeah. And just a reminder, if we are unable to get all of the documentation requested within the 5 days, at least sending an email telling our progress suffices the 91A and anything that we may have available at that time, that email.
And the other thing, too, I did confirm yesterday is that if the office is officially closed on Friday, that does not count as a business day.
That is correct.
So if the office is officially closed, that is not one of the five business days.
Right.
Okay.
Okay,
any day the office is not, any day the office is not officially open, it would not count.
Yeah. The one of the other things that was sent to the office was that the email blast, I guess, is going out, states that it's from Nancy Cole, the former
I think I fixed that, Jay. But I when I send an email to myself, I don't see what the public sees from in their email. But I think I changed the name of the profile to just, I think I just changed it to commissioner instead of an individual's name.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. And I think the same is for when you call and you get an answering, the answering message. It's Nancy's voice, but that all may change soon if we do decide to go with a new system. So no harm done. It's just someone pointing it out. The other thing, I wanted to go over we got some more resumes in, is that correct?
All of a sudden got like 10.
Yeah, and that'll be part of, Paul has requested a non-public to talk about that later after the meeting.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've had 17 people apply through Indeed. We've had 2 people apply outside of Indeed, so I'll be able to, I'll cover that in our non-public in terms of next steps.
Great.
Okay.
All right.
So I guess, I don't know if this is part of admin or probably under my commissioner's report, even though it's admin. Do we want to mail the letters out today to those 18, 19 homeowners on Ristenstock and Aspen?
Yeah.
For the service and upgrade?
Right. And I sent out this morning, I apologize for my lateness, that one letter to John LeBrec at number 27.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah, I had a comment on Jay's letter.
Okay, go ahead.
I would remove the last 2 paragraphs and just take them out.
Of this?
No.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And the only other question I had would be, so I would just remove those because I don't think they apply to him. And 2, my question is for this person, I don't know when he was turned down, but he probably went and spent $10,000 to $12,000, $15,000 to dig a well. So if we're gonna ask him now if he wants to join the water system, are we gonna charge him $8,000 if he says yes?
That is correct. So here's what happens, Paula. So if you're on a well and your well becomes contaminated,
right?
You may have no other choice but to connect to a public water
system. Okay. But he didn't have a choice. But he didn't have a choice.
Yeah, he got denied in writing in the office.
So he was turned down, so we're still going to charge him $8,000 if he wants to join. When was he turned down? Do you know when that was?
Probably about 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to be sure that, okay. All right.
Yeah, all this is saying is that, and I don't want to say if your well fails, you have the opportunity to hook up to the water system. If he's got poor quality water, lead or arsenic, it may behoove him to switch over anyhow.
All right.
In other words, we can't deny him again because now we do have sufficient pressure to that property.
What you sort of say, though, is please contact the office by August 1st and today's July 30th. So I think you need to change the date on that letter and maybe the other ones. I just wonder if we need to say to him.
No, you're right. I did change the date on the other letters to September 1st. But I think it's just so that he knows that he now has that option, because if his well failed, he may think, well, I can't connect to the water system. I'm going to have to re-drill a well. He may not know that he has the option.
Good point, yeah. Well, then maybe in the last sentence I would just say, please notify the office by September 1st if you are interested in changing now. Because the paragraph before you say now or in the future. But I would just say let us know by September 1st if you want to change it now.
Okay.
He was denied August 15th of 2009.
Okay. Yeah. I would just clarify that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks for writing that. That's good.
Yeah. All right. We'll have this updated, and then we'll have the letter here at the office for everyone to sign.
Great.
Now on the other letters, there's going to be 19 of them. So we're going to have to sign each one individually?
Yes.
Because they're going to be addressed to them personally, so it's not going to be a form letter that we can just photocopy it 20 times and mail it out. So each letter will be unique in that it will have the name and address of the recipient on it, not just dear homeowner. Okay. All right. So I'll get those printed out, and I'll bring them down to the office today.
Okay.
Oh, thank you.
Very good. All right, moving on, I want to jump down to accounts payable. And we have a manifest this week for $7,105.86. So I'm going to make, we'll make a motion after we read these off.
Only three checks.
Oh, only three, okay. Perfect. Was it four?
No, I just...
Oh, okay.
All right, the first one was to Catherine Bookkeeping Service for $170. The second one is to Lowe's for $178.36. And then the last one was to Simply Water for $6,757.50.
Okay. I do want to...
And that Simply Water was all broken down. I have the figures. His monthly service is $1,650. $650 went to the Reinach project. I have $3,580 from the water hookup at Ten Barden. I have repairs at $812.50, and I have a $65 to the safety due to the DPW inspection report.
Department of Labor.
Department of Labor, excuse me.
Okay.
So, the $3,580, which was I think it was more than Ten Barden hookup, right? He made several calls to number 7 Biasca.
No. But
is he charging us for the calls? I guess several attempts.
I don't know. I'd have to break that down. I'd have to ask him.
Yeah, I don't think I don't think he itemized that.
What have we, do you know, Donna, what we've had before as far as charges for a hookup, what they've averaged?
I don't. Okay. I'd have to look in the, this is the first one, well, the second one, I guess, that we've hooked up
now,
since I've been here.
Now, when this goes out as one check, obviously from one account, but the 3580, for the hookup at Ten Barden, that will come out of that $8,000 water.
The water extension fund.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
So you'll have to write a separate check for that. Out of that.
I don't
account?
Know that.
Or do we reimburse this account with a check from that account?
Right. This is Dinah.
How do you do it, Dinah?
That's the total cost of the hookup. I will transfer that amount from the water hookup fee to our operating account where we're paying it out of.
Okay. So you'll write a check to the district, basically. Okay.
All right. And then there's a $65 charge, 1 hour time, for the cleanup at the DPW-1 on Idlewise Drive, or DPW-2 on Idlewise Drive.
Mm-hmm.
Then this is monthly fee. Now the repairs, $812.50 on 6/3, 6/8, 6/9, 6/16. Do these detail where they are or what they're
I have water line inspections doesn't say. I just have the inspections. I have 6'9" troubleshoot, tripped well at Muddy Beach. And
my question would be, are some of these in relation to those water main breaks with the project, and would the money come out of the project versus out of our regular water budget? Because remember last week we had some voices.
Ian explained the water problems were going to be billed to the village. He's only going to be responsible for hooking up the pump house. So last time we talked, he's going to bill the village all of that, and it's up to us to get any reimbursement. I believe that's what he said.
Okay.
Yeah, if we feel that we need to backcharge Dawson for any of that, that's something we'll have to decide.
Well, yeah, no, that's a great point, Kathy, because I really want to try to keep track of these water main breaks and the outages at Young Trow this weekend, which require Ian to come in, of which we have to pay for somewhere out of our budget, because somehow we have to accumulate these costs. I'm now, in my mind, in my memory, I know of now 5 water main breaks in the past 2 months in regards to this project. So if we're getting a $3,000 average charge to repair each one of those breaks, you're talking $15,000, a lot of money. And we need to possibly either use that as leverage with something that we could have Dawson do for the district or somehow ask for reimbursement. But I want to keep track of I want very clear from Ian, I want very clear the repair that he's doing, what caused the repair. For example, this weekend, the Young Trow low water pressure was, I believe, because the valve that was installed on Thursday when we had the water main break on Young Trow was not set right. So that prompted a visit from Ian, and I'm just curious, are we going to be paying for something that was not done correctly on Thursday? So. Yep. I just want to have people keep track of those things and try to remember as much as possible, because I'm getting too old to remember anything. So I'm going to go ahead and sign this check for a Simply Water. But we, you know, if we can, every time Ian sends something, hopefully we'll get details to be put here.
I'll just have him put, you know, if it's a Rhinac issue.
Yeah. The other thing was we got those invoices from North Conway. Was it North Conway Water?
Yeah.
And those were from back in March, right?
Yeah.
And, well, for a lot of material, we buy a lot of our piping and curb stop valves, et cetera, from North Conway Precinct. And I noticed last week that there was a significant amount of purchase for what I call standard hookup materials back in March. But, of course, March, the ground was still frozen. So I don't know why, what those parts were for. So trying to get details from Ian on that as well. Okay? All right, so I have a motion then I'll make to approve the manifest for $7,105.86. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Boy, they're fighting hard to get that second. Okay, any further discussion?
Put in my monthly critique of Ian in that we still don't have any spring tie information for those new curb stop valves, I don't believe.
We do not. I have that on my agenda. Yep.
Well, where's that going to happen, Jay?
When he comes in to meet with us next week.
Okay. I'll send out a make sure he realizes he has to.
Yeah. Okay. So I have a second on the motion, $7,105.86 for the manifest. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Now, going on to payroll. Oh, there's no checks here, right?
No, that's just you have to look through the cards and I have to check off.
Perfect. All right. Kelly Robitaille for the week of 7/17. 40 hours.
Yep.
I'm just going to write on here. It hasn't written down. 40. Mm-hmm. Kelly Robitaille for the week of 7/24. 40 hours.
Yep.
We have Jeff DiMartino for the week of 7/17 at 40 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff DiMartino, 7/24, also for 40 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Eldridge for the week of 7/17 at 24 hours. And Tony Eldridge for the week of 7/24 at 32 hours. He came in at for 4 days
mm-hmm.
to finish up some of those projects. Donna McKinnon,
mm-hmm.
week of 7/17 at 22.25 hours. Donna for the week of 7/24 at 23.75 hours.
Mm-hmm.
We have Gina Murphy. Gina actually is doing our outhouse cleaning. And we have a total of the week of July 8th. Is that 18 or 17?
17.
17. July 17, we have a total of 3 hours. And the week of July 24th, we have a total of 3 hours.
And the commissioners and the treasurer got their monthly disbursement. That's what's included in the payroll.
Okay. How come Paula got more?
Because she worked a week in June and wasn't paid for it.
Ah, okay. All right, I'll finish that.
All right.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. Going down to signature items, we got the new water project checking account. We got the signature cards that Diana has brought to the office. I've signed them. I believe Paul has signed them. Dinah signed them. I think, Kathy, you're the holdout.
Okay. Oh, on signature cards? Okay. I'll be down this afternoon.
The new water account.
Yep.
We have, that I know of, no committee reports.
It's not the new water account. It's just to put Paula on the account.
Oh, just add Paula.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. An underwater system. We have the water shutoff and liens to the outstanding users over $1,000. Kathy, can you give an update on that?
Nothing other than that we've got the forms to do that. So I found them on the Carroll County website to file a small claims court action. So it just when Donna and I get the time to do it, we'll sit down and do it.
Okay, great. And as Dinah had brought up, the swing ties for not only what we got out of DPW, but also 5 Bergdorf. That's outstanding with Ian, also 22 Interlaken. We have a leak that was reported. We didn't get too much information here at the office at number 12 Interlaken underneath the home, which is a crawl space. I don't know what has happened or transpired between Ian and the homeowner. And the only reason I think that the office should be kept in the loop is because whatever Ian's time is spent on this will be paid for by this office, and I think we should know what we're paying for.
That's responsibility of the homeowner, though.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. Ian has talked to the homeowner.
I'm sure he'll probably bring it up at his meeting for next week.
Yeah. That's what I want to make sure that we have a clear line of communications of things that are being expended. And if it's significant, that the office be aware and make a decision on it before it just goes ahead and happens. And, of course, the water outage over this weekend, which we've discussed already. Okay, commissioner reports. So the camper, this is my report, unless someone else wants to go first. Okay, let me just briefly on the camper. We did get Officer Jimmy Hayford to respond in writing. It was a text message to me. I copied it through email to the office. And it looks like they're going to do some more investigating at the sheriff's office with regard to that VIN number, see if they can find the owner. But I guess in hindsight, If we just simply cannot find anyone who owns this, and of course we've had the notifications there, then we can just simply go ahead and have it towed. And so that's where we are with that. I know it's an eyesore, but we're dealing with it legally as best we can. Also, just a point, the pond levels, even though we're in the midst of a drought, seem to be holding at just about 6 inches below the top of the concrete at the dam. So that's pretty good. That's all I've got. Kathy, Paula, do you want to go? Which one wants to go first?
Well, I'll be brief. I have nothing. Just working on kind of balancing out spreadsheets with what Chris has for the tank project. We've only made one payment, so there's not a lot to update. But for next week's meeting, I'll incorporate the check for Dawson's with the correct retainage amount, as well as the new one that we got from DN Tank. And that one was pretty simple. It had the retainage amount and everything all kind of added right up. So I'll add those to that whole project list and make sure that we're all on the same page with Chris as far as those expenses go. That's all I have.
All right, Paula?
No, I just have the work on the hiring that we'll do in non-public, so nothing on public to discuss.
Okay, great. Under correspondence, we had a trash removal firm send us some information. I guess I consider that more or less solicitation, and we really don't need to talk about it.
Well, Jay, let me ask you this, Jay. So if that individual business was willing to provide a discount to the district, would that be the same as, somebody went out and solicited AmeriGas, and we told the people in the district that if everybody goes to AmeriGas for their propane, that would, in effect, give us a little bit better rate? Would that be the same thing? Were we promoting AmeriGas as a business, just like we would be with the trash removal?
Yeah, the district is certainly not promoting any gas company over another. That was being done privately on a social media site. I don't think the district should ever be soliciting for any one contractor or business to do business within the Village District. I guess it's sort of out of our reach.
Okay. So if there is this service available, I wouldn't put it out in the newsletter, but maybe the info board, would that be a appropriate place to put that out so that people that do have renters have an opportunity to at least get hold of someone that will pick up the garbage?
Yeah, no, that's perfect. The social media sites would be the best place for that to be. Absolutely.
Okay. So if someone, is on the Idlewife info, I don't think a commissioner should do it, but not sure how that would get posted out there on the info board, the new Facebook info board.
Yeah, if anybody that's a member of the info board is listening, you can go ahead and post. I can't, even though I own the site, a conflict of interest. So
I can mention it to someone I know that's on the info board and see if they're interested in posting it. Does that work?
Okay.
I mean, if I do that one-on-one, I think that's appropriate. Okay.
That'd be the perfect
place. They may not, but I'll mention somebody that I know who might want to
participate.
Okay.
All right. We have a letter from Jane Gunn about the Idlewise beaches. And Jane is not the only one who was asked this question. It gets asked and discussed every year. The beaches in Idlewise, are they private beaches? And Donna actually did some research yesterday. Thank you very much. And presented that we are a public, those bodies of water.
That's what I assumed.
Yeah.
Lower Pea, Middle Pea, mm-hmm. and Porridge.
Yeah.
Large Pea, excuse me.
Yeah. The form that we looked at, it listed Pea Porridge Ponds, it just said upper and lower. Is that what it was on there? It didn't describe it the way we've always described it.
Yeah. So I'll ask the question, upper and lower, what ponds are they referring to you?
Exactly.
What's your opinion?
Well, let me go back to the document real quick.
So the upper with a three?
I've got it right here. Hold on.
Yeah, because the little pea porridge pond is actually man-made, and because of its size, they're very small, does not fall under a state body of water. So it's basically a puddle.
They call it middle. Really, all right, so Jay, in the state report, it says pea porridge ponds, plural, and it says under the comment column, it says middle and lower. So what's middle and lower?
Yeah, so before Idlewise was developed, there were only two ponds. And then there was probably a swampy area, which has now been dug out and called Little Pea Porridge Pond, where the dam is.
Okay.
All in front of that. So middle and lower, is it middle or upper and lower?
It says middle and lower. That's it.
Yeah. So I know the big pond, obviously, size-wise, falls under the state guidelines, and so does the middle one. But the little one, I believe, is man-made and just too small acreage-wise to be considered under the state's jurisdiction.
But on this form, where it says middle and lower, the very last column says that it's publicly owned body of water, and it is not checked off.
For which one? For all of them?
No.
There's only one line. There's one line, Pea Porridge Ponds in Madison, middle and lower, and then at the end of that row, the column heading is publicly owned bodies of water, and that is not checked off.
Yeah.
So
that means privately held or not?
And that's for all big pea porridge?
There's only one line.
Okay, it's checked off as our
oh, you're
public
right.
waters, but publicly owned bodies of water, a public owned is not checked off.
Right.
It says, but
right,
it does
right.
say if you, but if you look at the first couple pages, it says part well, public lakes and ponds. It really applies to statutes. Things that are greater than 10 acres or more in size.
Right.
And it says, or great ponds which have been enlarged by artificially impounding water above the elevation of natural mean high water. So, I mean, Middle Pea, and I also wonder if Little Pea is considered part of Middle Pea because it's all one body, because the channel is pretty big. And when you look at the map of the pond, you know, it looks as though Little Pea is part of Middle Pea. But it's one body of water. I don't know that it's considered a separate body of water. So, I mean, somebody could call DES if we were unclear, but I do think they are public bodies of water because they are over 10 acres.
Yeah. So
I don't know. I don't understand the check, what's checked off, but anyway.
There's different RSAs. Each check mark is referring to a specific RSA and whether we fall under that RSA.
Right. But I guess my impression is I've been here for now 35 years is that these have always been public beaches, as are all the beaches around Silver Lake and Madison. There's one that's now restricted to just residents only, but the other four beaches are public. And the word public means anybody in the world. A lot of people think that only Madison and Idlewise residents can use our beaches and vice versa. It's not like that at all. It's the public.
Yeah, and even Jay, even on Silver Lake, Silver Lake isn't restricting the beach at the foot of the lake. It's only restricting the parking,
right,
which is separate from the beach.
So we could restrict parking.
Yeah, you can restrict parking because we own the parking lots, but you can't restrict the beach. Water.
So I guess,
as we talked about last week, I think we should have some kind of public meeting. Hopefully there'll come a time off season when we can have a public meeting, and we should have a discussion around this with the public, or somehow have a Zoom meeting. I don't know what, but get people's opinions because I like the idea of restricting the parking possibly, but other people that own rental properties may not like the idea. So I don't know. It'd be interesting.
Yeah,
or we could come up with a proposal.
Right. And the whole thing with the parking is, if I have, if you rent your home and you own property here, the parking should be available to you and your guests. So if we use the Madison resident sticker, that would become an issue. So, and I don't think there's a, and I think most, probably 80 to 90% of the people here are people that are renting. Yeah, you get a few people coming in from Madison and from Conway, but the vast majority of the folks on the beaches are renters.
I only question whether that's true this year, and this is a very specific year. I mean, it's a very different situation because I think the public beaches, and I don't use them, but I observe them, are very crowded this year.
Yeah,
and I've seen a lot of people that I think are groups of people that are possibly local. I could be wrong, but based on their ages, and I just suspect they're probably local. But I could be wrong. But I do think it's a special. But you could even not using the parking pass, we could create something like a plastic disc, right? That the houses would get. I've seen this in condo communities, right? It would be something you couldn't create. It wouldn't be like a piece of paper. And we could issue that to everybody in Edelweiss, and you would give that to your renters. It would stay at the house, right? And that would be their parking pass, and they would put it in front of their windshield of their car, or hang it from their rearview mirror when they went to the beach. And so it wouldn't, you know. And then, as I said, you could create something like that that the rental properties could have and the owners, and you know, maybe, and then you could ask the Madison police, you know, to check it once a day or twice a day on weekends, whatever we wanted to do. And I also wonder if it would self-police, because I would tell the people, if you see cars without this, then call the police and do something like that. I think there's a way we could create something.
Mm-hmm. Campgrounds do it all the time, you know.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. So that lends itself back to the question of why the property owners here are being assessed almost $20,000 value to their land because they apparently believe we have exclusive rights to that amenity.
Well, I think that deserves a call to Avatar. I mean, anybody who wants to call Avatar should call and schedule a call and complain about that.
I will certainly do that. My neighbor, I believe, will be doing the same thing, but I will reach out as a commissioner to find out what the logic is and where that information came from. So, the town of Madison is telling people, well, you got that assessment because you live in an exclusive community with exclusive rights to those beaches.
Yeah, there were people who wanted to get a copy of the PDF, which I have as well from the town of Madison. But I think the better data from Avatar is one that you could subscribe to for 30 days at a cost of $25. And it's the raw data, and it will give you everything that you want to know about how they assess. That's the best thing to ascertain. The PDF does not help anybody. And going through the tax cards one by one on the database is time-consuming. But I want to move on.
I want to print this one page if I can. 18 of 22.
So we also got a letter from Larry Leonard about the amount of space at his canoe space. Someone, I guess, took his rack?
No, he couldn't get his rack on because it was another rack was blocking his rack.
Right.
Another boat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't want to, you know, tie up the Board of Commissioners with, you know, who's got the bigger boat and needs to lose some weight or whatever, but that's really between the boat owners. So I don't know how to address it. I'd really rather not, to be honest with you. That's something to be worked out between the two abutting rack spaces. We also got, unless there's any further discussion on how to reply to Larry, I don't know if he's looking for an answer. Larry's got a pretty big canoe, and I'm sure his boat is bigger than the kayak, which is above him. So I don't know what to say. Sort of like
if somebody's infringing on his, if somebody else has got their canoe in his spot, then we should impound it, right? But otherwise, you're right. If he knows who owns it, he should take it up with them.
Yes. It's not on his spot. It was just he had trouble getting his coat on the spot.
Okay. Right. So it's like an airline seat, right? So we all have the same size seat, but some people are larger than others, and when the big guy comes and sits in the middle row, you sort of get pushed against the window or pushed out into the aisle. not much you can do. We also got correspondence from the DWGBORT, water usage data, and that was accepted, what Lisa had sent in.
Yeah.
Great. We got several correspondence from Bill Moser with the weekend water outage. And we also got an email from Jessica Bean that the beach volunteer sign-up wasn't working on the portal. And then, of course, Andrew has sent in a couple of emails and suggestions on the phone system, which we will talk about as a committee. I sent in the photos of what I have with the Little Loop project. I have some more, so I'll send those in later. And then we had a request from Adam, five requests, I believe, for 91A issues. And those are being addressed. Thank you. And we all thank you, Paula. We also have Ralph Lutchen that also had a request, and I believe you already satisfied that, right?
We're working on it.
Working on it? Great.
Yep.
We had a couple emails from Chris Albert discussing the viewing of the tank construction, which is today. I hope everybody has a chance to go up there. Please take some pictures. And the retainage schedule. We also have two emails, I believe, from Greg M. One was the official seal that was required or not required.
Yeah, I mean, I never heard back, so I don't think they're necessary. I apologize. Monday it had to go out. We had trouble getting signatures, and I did not seal the document.
Oh, okay.
So, but it seems that we don't need it. The email said. So, and I haven't heard from Greg that we need it. So.
Okay, perfect. All right. I'm going to open up the phone lines to anyone on the phone for public comment.
It's just Dinah.
I have a public comment. This is Dinah. Ian is going to come to the meeting next week, you have said?
Yeah, he's scheduled for the first Thursday of every month.
Okay, so we will be going over this water outage over the weekend more detail then, because I don't feel like I have a good answer for why it wasn't addressed. So is that going to be a topic for Ian next week?
Yes, it will.
Good. Thank you.
Okay.
Jay, this is Paula. Can you tell me, like, what happened? Like, I know, not what happened in terms of what went wrong, but Ian was notified, right, because he would have gotten a call from the sheriff. He came over on – how long did it take to get it fixed?
Yeah,
like, what happened?
Yeah, I was I was called, I forget when, that there was a problem at Jungfrau, so I went over there. I also called Ian when I got a text message, and I forget who it was from. So I went over to Jungfrau, and Ian said to me on the phone – that he had received a phone call from the sheriff's department that morning, which I believe was a Saturday or Sunday morning.
It was Friday and Saturday.
Saturday morning. And so I was at the Jungfrau station at 3 o'clock, and he said, I heard some hissing in the pressure-reducing valve pit, and I got out of my vehicle, and I said, I hear it as well. And he says, okay. So I guess I'll come over now. So I think that was the first time he said he'd be about an hour. I believe he got there around 4 o'clock.
Are they still?
Are you guys still on?
Yes, I'm still on.
Okay, they're still on.
Yes, hang on.
We may lose you.
Yeah, we're just going to have to switch over to my phone as soon as this call ends. But anyhow, so he arrived, I believe, around 4 o'clock. I had to go in town, and he said he would resolve the situation. He did call me back and said that the water is flowing again. It was only getting partially through the...
I tried to...
No, that's his diner.
Oh. Okay. So anyhow,
So here's my question. He got a call in the morning from the sheriff, and he didn't come until 4 o'clock?
That is correct.
Okay, so that's the question I think we have to ask him next week.
Okay,
Diana makes a good point. Why did it take him all day to get over there to get it fixed?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And so the other question I have is he did mention to me that because I did give him the locations of those callers with respect to their address, because that is important to him and as far as isolating the problem. So I gave him those addresses. I believe he said he had gone to some of the residents in that area and gave them his business card asking them to call him directly when they have issues in the future. And that sort of bypasses the office so that Donna has no knowledge when someone else calls and she has no answer for them. That can be a little embarrassing. And the other fact is I'm just looking from an accounting or accountability standpoint is that we need to, as commissioners, know also what's breaking and what we're paying for to be fixed as opposed to just signing checks for things that were fixed that we knew didn't even know were broken. So we will discuss.
Well, I think if he gets a call from a resident, he should call and at the very least leave a message at the office so we know that he's doing something. I think that's
exactly.
Easy to rectify. That's just a process thing we should take up with him next week. But I think the bigger issue is his lag in responding, no matter who calls.
Right. Yeah, I was surprised as well. And, you know, my question is, okay, if the installation of that new valve on Thursday, where we did have an actual water main break, the valve was not set fully open, then having him go back out to readjust that, do we need to pay for that as well? So that would be my another question. Look, I see Ian's actually trying to call me right now. Not sure what that's about. But anyhow, this is the only phone that we got working right now in the office, so I don't want to hang up on you guys because we got to go to non-public. But anything else on the public comment? Okay, hearing none. Do we want to then go into non-public? Paul had a request to go into non-public to talk about, and I wrote it down, RSA 91A:32B under hiring. Yeah, I'll make a roll call vote. Okay. I say aye.
Aye.
Yes. Yes, from
okay.
Kathy.
All right, so thank you, everybody, for joining. If there's anybody still left on that's not part of the commissioners, we're going to go into non-public and then come back out and probably go back into another non-public under RSA 91A:3:C&G, legal matters. Okay? Thanks, everybody. Paul and Kathy, you can call into the phone.
Yep, thank you.